Hello, everybody. Christopher Morris here in the land of Creative Cosmos Radio. Thank you for joining tonight. It's going to be a really fun show. Name of the show is Silence and Sound. And we're going to be getting involved with a lot of music this evening. You'll hear a couple of improvisational tunes of mine. And later on in the show tonight, I'm going to have a real original musician, Charlie Bomarito. He'll be on hour two, and we'll be listening to some of his music and talking about his experiences in improvisation in the creative world. So I could not resist greeting you with a little music myself tonight, because as you may know, some of you, especially you regular listeners or visitors of the big site, creativecosmos.org, you'll know I'm a musician. And I grew up as a musician, and I've been a musician all my life. And from music, I expanded into all areas of creativity. And music itself goes to such deep levels that it becomes something different than what you used to think it was. It comes down to pure vibration, the vibration that permeates all of existence. Creation itself is humming with music. And we're going to explore that this evening. So, if you're near a computer, which you probably are, if you're listening to the broadcast, why don't you cruise on over to the site, creativecosmos.org. Got some interesting stuff on there tonight. Of course, I wrote an article again this week. Try to do at least one. Well, I try to do two a week nowadays, you know, with the two radio shows. Of course, I'm doing the Transcendence World Movement Monday, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on BBS Radio. And I'm running the website and have all kinds of projects on my own, creating the music, communicating with other people that are doing similar work, which is one of the pleasures of what I do, to share this with others. It's a wonder to watch the creativity of others and share in that experience, and everything you can share, you can make a part of you, you see. At some point when you're listening to music or look at an artwork, it isn't simply something you look at and forget. You soak it up, and it's a part of you ever after. It's a different way of learning, a different way of being open, receptive. And you don't hold on to anything, because you don't need to hold on to anything. Really, if you simply enjoy things, experience them fully, you will remember all you ever need to remember. So if you're at the site by now, creativecosmos.org, check over at Pearly Gates Press. Some interesting headlines here. One I found really good was one called Going Solar. It's about a smaller town in Pennsylvania that's really devoted themselves to incorporating the newest solar panel technology all over town. And it says they've saved themselves thousands of dollars, and they're working on getting off the grid, getting off the electricity grid, and becoming self-sustained. Now, if they can do it, well, anybody can do it. Every city can do it. And this is what I've been saying in the Transcendence, and just any time I get a chance, that solar panels need to be everywhere. Everywhere. But they cost this and that, they cost... Forget that. This is the universe we're living in, people. This is the planet Earth. You know? We got to make it happen. All that crap about cost this, inconvenience that, don't know how to do it. It's all BS. Get it going. Get it done. Make it happen. You know, I've been thinking about this week a little bit, how there's kind of a default state of mind people have of where they can prove to themselves that they're making gestures at getting something done. And seems to be so. They're playing the game like everybody else plays the game. But if you really activate your will and have the clarity of awareness and intensity of presence, you can jump right out of that normal realm and expedite. You can make things instant. You can manifest now. And that's when you're in tune with the creative power and your own personal ability to express what the universe wants you to express. Take a look at another headline we had on the site tonight. Big news in humanity. Last chromosome in human genome is sequenced. This is posted by our roving slash raging reporter, Eye of the Eye, from Chicago, Illinois. And it talks about how scientists have completed their volume of the Human Genome Project. They've finished with kind of stage one. They've mapped it out, and they have seen some of the genomes that cause many diseases such as cancer, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's. So this is really good, because now that they've gotten the basics, they know what is there. Now they're going to work on finding out how they communicate and how it works and how they interrelate and how it causes all these things and affects all these things. I just saw in my own mind just now as I was reporting on that, that vibration, sound, is going to be one of the ways in which we learn to manipulate DNA. That vibrating at certain frequencies, we will be able to affect certain aspects of our makeup. And I'd like to even tell you, even as I'm telling you that, my right hand is, my fingers are coming right onto my third eye, and they're going around in circles. Sometimes you'll find this happen. If you go with energy and let it take over your body and do what it wants to do in its natural state, sometimes you'll see that. You'll put your hand on one of your chakras, maybe. Sometimes I do that with my heart, but right now it's right on my third eye. It's wide open, firing like crazy. It's going to be a great night, people. I'm excited to be here. Real excited to be here. All right. This is where I belong, talking to you on the airwaves, flying around BBS Radio. Wow! Right. Another headline we got here. This one's wacky, wacky, wacky. It's almost, well, you can see this in our society these days, how sci-fi and our reality really are not that different anymore. We're living sci-fi. We're living what we used to think was the future. And then some, because it's accelerated so fast that we aren't simply living what the projection from the past thought it would be, but we're living a compounding reality that keeps getting higher in vibration. And there's all kinds of beings from other realms popping in and out in various ways. We need to be aware of that, and we need to be centered, and we need to know who we are, and we need to live the life that we're meant to live. And we can communicate with all these beings, and we could see them, we could avoid them if we want, if they're not the friendliest dudes, because they aren't all friendly. You can't just trust spirit blanket. You just can't say anything that comes in from the beyond is just fine. We need to have enough center, enough honor and respect for ourselves that we can stay the course and know that no matter what being it is, we're pretty special and powerful beings ourselves. Beings to be reckoned with, both here in the physical world and on the astral planes. All right, well, the article, U.S. Plans Stealth Shark Spies. And this is hysterical. You go over to the Creative Cosmos Planetary Forum and check it out. It says, Pentagon scientists are planning to turn sharks into stealth spies capable of tracking vessels undetected. And they're going to do this by implanting electrodes in their brain. So that's pretty wacky. Got that off the BBC today. So, there you go. A couple of headlines from the site. And we move on to big news for a friend of the Creative Cosmos. Incredibly special person who every day devotes herself to serving others. Friend of BBS Radio. And all-around wonderful person. Experienced a birthday recently, and we at the Creative Cosmos would like to say, hey, happy birthday to Gaia Napper of Snowdle. So if you haven't checked this site out, go check it out. To me, it's one of the best sites in the world, and it creates an ambiance and atmosphere that you can't get anywhere else. It's snowdle.punt.nl, snoedel.punt.nl. There's a link to it off of the creativecosmos.org site, down a little ways and to the left. And I wrote up a little ditty for Gaia today in honor of her birthday and all that she's done to help the cause of humanity and her friendship with the Creative Cosmos and our listening audience as well. So we wish her a happy birthday. All right, Don, roll the big tape. Happy birthday, Snowdle. Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back. If you're listening tonight, you'd like to give me a buzz, call toll-free 877-876-5227. I'll give it to you again, 877-876-5227. Talking about music tonight, just have to say, some of what I'd like to do in the Creative Cosmos is I take what I've found to be the best of history, you know, people that were doing the same kind of work we're doing today, in their time, in their way, and bringing them in, into the present, as part of what we're doing. Because they're still alive. Everything that ever was, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Got you with that one, folks. Came through. Don't know where it came from. Don't always know. I'm taking a real improvisatory attitude tonight, because I know Charlie Bomarito, our guest coming up later, I know that he's quite a guy. I listen to his CDs, and music speaks for itself. So we'll enjoy that a little bit later on. And, you know, some of my early influence in music, you know, I listened to the whole of Western classical music, 1200 to 2000 AD, starting with the chants. Stuff like that, you know, and then into some little medieval music, you know, and some of which was improvisatory in nature. There's a little style of tune called the Saltarello. And this is, you know, medieval period, maybe 1300, somewhere around there. And a buddy of mine and I, Eye of the Eye, the reporter himself, we used to play some recorder. We still do. And we learned some of those tunes. So I'm going to play a little Saltarello from the 1300s. Some of that stuff's real good music, you know. Check it out. You know, if you get sick of all the crap you hear on the radio, well, you know, hopefully you're tuning into BBS Radio and hearing all the new music and the fantastic emerging artists. I mean, that's what I listen to now. You know, I've heard it all, and you know what I love to hear? New. I love to hear creative people doing their thing. I love to hear spirit going into the realms of music and coming up with beautiful new ways to put truth. And I really enjoyed Renaissance music a lot. You know, I think I had a life as a bard in the Renaissance, where I just used to strum the lute, sing tunes to beautiful ladies. Even the way I play the guitar these days, it's more of a strumming. Almost as you see the angels strum the harp in your mind when you think of heavenly music. And I just sing melodies, pour my heart out in song. So I've always enjoyed, there's tons of recordings of music from the Renaissance period. You know, they didn't record it in the Renaissance, but there are groups that dedicate themselves to learning the original instruments, researching the way it was done, and doing as authentic as possible of a rendition of the tune. And this is fascinating stuff, and it's very enjoyable to listen to. It isn't just a study or a research. You kick back and really enjoy the stuff. It's good stuff. Check it out. Renaissance music. And in a way, a lot of our pop music or pop tunes kind of are not that different than a lot of the tunes in the Renaissance. There were tons of secular ballads and folk songs and little melodies, and you'd be surprised how evolved their culture was and the kind of things they talked about and related to each other. And, you know, they even sometimes have body tunes where they're singing about drinking beer in the alehouse, yum-pa-dum-pee-doo, and they're just having a good old time. All kinds of stuff. And of course, as we go later, you know, I'm not going to go too deeply tonight into all of it. I do from time to time. But you got to love Bach. There is a man of God. J.S. Bach, a giant, enormity. Listen to his music and your mind will change. Your whole being will change. You'll have a greater clarity. It's like looking into the mind of God. It's perfection. It's exalting. It's joyous and universal. J.S. Bach. You know, he had some kids that wrote some pretty decent music, too. Check some of that out. I used to listen to some of that. You know, we all love Mozart. He's good. And he's inspired. But, you know, I got a lot deeper into Beethoven myself. Because Beethoven is a heavy dude. He's like, whoa, you know, he stayed the course. He was not a part of life, the madness of the world and what people were doing. He was tuned in and he served the vision and understood the profundity and magnitude. Western civilization would not be where it is today without the work of Beethoven. And many composers after followed his way. Schubert, Schumann, Mendelssohn, somewhat. I mean, they were all possible because of Beethoven. Brahms, Buchner, big favorite of mine, Mahler. Well, you know what, folks? I'm gonna play you a tune today. Right now. We'll get back to some of this. This is fun. I like talking to you about it. But while we got a chance here, I'm going to play a song that I did, improvising a number of lines and mixing them together in an interesting combination. So I hope you enjoy. It's called Traveling to Tibet. All right, we're back. Creative Cosmos. Your good friend Christopher Moore is here, sailing through the night with you this evening. Name of the tune was Traveling to Tibet. I hope you enjoyed it. And the title of the show tonight is Silence and Sound, and we're floating through music and meditation and all things vibration. And I was telling you a little bit about some of the musicians of the past I enjoyed. Oh, I try to bring them to life anew by understanding what they were doing and feeling the vibe in myself that they were creating. And taste for myself what they were tuning into. Spent a lot of time with jazz music. I wouldn't be here tonight talking to you so freely, so relaxed, so smoothly if it wasn't for my experience with jazz and the jazz musicians who took me into their world and helped heal me of some of my pain and set me free to dance around as the creative whims struck me. Great people, very wise people. The jazz community has much wisdom in it. And, of course, one of the all-timers and one of my favorites, someone that took me many years to come to listen to and appreciate in an appropriate way. Thank God I did. John Coltrane, tenor saxophone player. Direct transmissions from the source. If you want to hear what the source sounds like, listen to John Coltrane, especially some of his late stuff. You know, the people who say he kind of went crazy there at the end? No, they're the ones who are crazy. They just can't go that far. He wasn't crazy. He was tuned in. He was going faster and faster and faster. Now, I didn't really understand Coltrane until I found my own center and danced on the edges of my own inner sun. All kinds of things come from there. Of course, like any Gen Xer, listen to a lot of pop and rock and roll music. You know, really, my kind of my center of my world in there is indeed the Beatles, as it is for many people. And after I awakened, I came to really understand and appreciate the music of John Lennon much deeper. You know, I always enjoyed the music of Paul McCartney. Got a feel for the brother out there tonight because of what he's going through with his divorce, and sounds like he went through some pain and some real relationship tension, and that's hard. And I wish him all the best. That guy, you know, he's kind of cheesy sometimes, but hey, man, he's done nothing but good for the world. Brought nothing but good to the world. I want you to think about that next time you see him. And all the individual Beatles had some good stuff. You know, I really came to enjoy George Harrison's music and love the Traveling Wilburys. You know, that's the truth right there. If you want to listen to some music that captures the essence of the universe, listen to the music of the Traveling Wilburys. It's just so good, it breaks your heart. I mean, it's just like, oh my God, this is it, you know? Just like, ah, awesome. And over the later years, I've come to enjoy like meditative type music, or, you know, some of what you might consider new age or ambiance, or something that creates an environment in the room. You know, one of my CDs, and not just mine, but myself and Amy and the Eye are on Dream Dust, our keyboard collaboration, of which you'll hear a track in just a few moments. And that's what that's all about, creating an atmosphere, invoking the higher vibrations. And if you listen to it, it will activate processes in your own mind. It will open up doorways and free up connections that you'll never lose. And this is what I was saying with J.S. Bach. And this is why you got to go through and listen to a lot of different music and a lot of different musicians. They all give you something else, and they have a real effect on your brain and the way the brain works and the way brain processes. Oh, boy. And nowadays, I really just enjoy listening to individuals. You know, someone like Charlie's coming on the show later. Listen to his CDs and see, listen, you know, get to find out some of his thoughts and what he's up to, how he does what he does. And that's what I enjoy the most nowadays. Seeing what one person can come up with, or by themselves or in collaboration with others. It's pure joy. I know you're out there listening. I know you're out there listening. And so there's two ways here. We got the silence and we got the sound. And they're not really two different things. They're just places that exist simultaneously. I would like to talk a little bit about silence. How was that? Did you get it? It's the undercurrent to all phenomenon. And there are many layers of activity superimposed upon it. And people could be living at any one of those layers, completely unaware of the silence, but it is the silence which rejuvenates, and from which the universal sound springs, and the way to link to pure inspiration and the flow of creativity. You have to see that there's nowhere to go, nothing to do. Give it priority in space and intent. You know, one of my early tastes of what it truly was like to meditate, what meditation truly was, you know, because we could sit and we could do what we think is meditation, but if our mind is still noisy and we are still tense and haven't released all of which we carry through us through the day, we're not truly meditating yet. We're on our way. And we need to do that to get the ball rolling. I'll tell you, when meditation is pure and true, it comes upon you. You know, there was one time I thought I was playing a gig. I think I was probably playing a gig somewhere. I thought I was going to be playing a gig somewhere, let's just say 7 o'clock. This was back when I lived in Champaign, Urbana, Illinois, playing all kinds of gigs. I was in a bunch of symphonies and did solos and did students and did some conducting and studying. Very busy. And I thought I had a gig one night, and I got all ready for it and was all, you know, bracing myself and thinking about it, and the wheels were turning, and then I, for some reason, realized that it wasn't until the next day. Suddenly all that released, and I felt that nowhere to go, nothing to do. You know, one of my favorites, Osho, always says that in his books, and I had read that. And I didn't truly know what he meant until that moment when I had all that tension and then it suddenly evaporated, and I knew that there was nothing else but just me in that moment. And so I just sat down on the ground right then and there and opened up. And my whole energy expanded. And I just reflected the universe. My brain was relaxed. And upon me came the peace which passeth understanding. And this is the taste of meditation. And the open spaces which await each and every one of you out there tonight who is simply willing to experiment, try, share with your friends, keep at it, look, observe. It will happen. So now we're going to tune into that tune, 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 tunely, tune, tune, that I referred to earlier, the tune from the CD, Celestial Keys. If you like it, you can go over to the creativecosmos.org site, click on the Dream Desk Celestial Keys CD, pick up a copy, give one as a gift. Because it's not just music to listen to, it's music that has an effect, a transforming, uplifting effect, and helps open that gateway that brings you to those higher vibrations. So enjoy the tune, everybody. It's called Conundrum. The Creative Cosmos Radio Show has returned. I'm your host, Christopher Moores, taking you through the night on a journey of exploration and creativity with silence and sound. And as we are speaking about, that the essence of sound is vibration, and a vibration is what upholds creation. And tuning into this is how we beget manifestation. We allow the creativity to come through us and take the forms that go with our mind and our makeup. And all vibration takes place amidst the backdrop of silence. You know, sometimes they say in Zen, they have a phrase called the unstruck sound. And when you can actually hear silence, you know, when you've become so tuned in with your hearing, and you hear subtlety to the point where it becomes silence, then you know what is the unstruck sound. It's pure potential. And when you call forth sound and bring it down into the third dimension and share it with the world, it has a magical effect. Even before the Western classical music history I spoke of, there were the Greek modes. And if you don't know what the Greek modes are, you can basically imagine it this way. One of the things that makes scale is just how the notes are lined up. You know, there's whole steps and half steps. You don't even need to know what that means. You just need to know that if you play C to C on a piano, it's going to sound one way, just like all the white keys for, you know, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, C. Then if you switch up to D, E, F, G, A, B, C, D, has a completely different sound. And there were scales based on the various permutations of each of these modes. So basically all you need to know is there were different scales with different sounds that had different effects. And this was well known in the ancient Greek thinking. In fact, certain modes were even frowned upon or off limits. Like if you take B to B on the white keys, B, C, D, E, F, G, A, B, it has a very strident sound, and it was forbidden even to foray into the land which invokes such madness in mankind. And, you know, we've kind of forgotten to some extent the huge and profound impact that music has upon us. And the kind of music we surround ourselves with will have a big factor in shaping how we deal with things and how we just our own vibration. Just imagine that. When you're listening to music, you're pumping that vibration into your inner world. And if you're not choosing that which is resonant with you, but just listening to any random old thing, it starts bringing you into tune with it. And sometimes this can be a reduction, and sometimes it can be an expansion. You know, there are all kinds of beats and all kinds of sources of inspiration. You know, some things are more of a primal nature. That will awaken more of the primal energy in you, more of the basic life force. You know, and some are very mental, and some can move you and bring you into the etheric realms. I'm not going to demonstrate all of them. All right, etheric realms. No, all right, that's enough. All right. So we have all kinds of effects that the colors of music can provoke. And one thing we must come to know about music is it's a language. It's a way our soul communicates beyond words and concepts. It can be used to awaken and heal. And this is why I write music. Well, one, it's an expression of my being. It's an expression of my joy for simply being alive. I recognize the blessing of life every day. Never take it for granted. Always realize the intensity and preciousness and temporary aspect of being manifested here, too. In other words, while you're here, do what you're here to do. You never know when the days are going to slip away. Enjoy. Live life in totality, leaving all things undone. And so I write the music to express myself, but then I also write it to reveal what I've found. And to, so if you are to listen to some of my tunes, it will bring you to places of perception. It will show you new ways to look at things and map out new and original mental territory that then you can explore and make your own, in your own way, the way it happens for you. And then you can go even farther and use that experience to kind of jumpstart your own method, your own creative methods. And you reach deep inside of yourself until just the way you live your life is musical and resonates harmony. And the way you walk, the way you speak, the way you gesture, simply how your eyes reveal your wisdom. And the interplay involved in sharing this with each other brings everybody higher. And I know we're going to talk about improvisation a little bit later, very soon now, actually. We're going to take a music break in just a couple moments, and we'll bring our guest on. And I know we'll be diving into improvisation. And I even tried to not plan too much of how the conversation is going to go, because I thought we could just improvise together. Got some ideas for some things I might like to bring up, but we're going to just fly, let it go. We're going to speak music, I hope. And we're going to listen to some of his very spiritual and deep, profound music that comes from him in the way the universe speaks through him. And the beauty of the improvisation is that it's new and fresh in the moment, like life itself. This is how we recognize creativity. Another name for creativity in my own personal vernacular is the Holy Spirit. What else is the Holy Spirit but the wings of creativity and inspiration? You simply need to open, even as the dove descended upon Jesus as he was baptized in the River Jordan. You can be baptized with the Spirit, enlightened of the mind, and have the blessings of the universe shower upon you. Moving into the top of the hour, we're going to do a little station identification, and then we're going to move on to the first tune by our guest who's coming up right after the break, Charlie Bomarito, and we're going to play his song, Bright Room. Welcome back, Creative Cosmos Radio Show. I'm your host, Christopher Moores. We're back here for hour two, and we're joined by Charlie Bomarito. I'm going to read a little bit about him. And his music, that was his tune, Bright Room, that we just enjoyed over the break. And it's a great lead-in to what I hope will be a very wonderful sharing of creative energies. Charlie's early study of philosophy and spirituality awakened his sensitivity to the vibration of sound to the effect of the soul. Growing up in Detroit, Charlie heard plenty of Motown radio and began attending rock concerts at the age of 10, taking in the likes of Santana, Pink Floyd, and Frank Zappa. By 15, Charlie had established a habit of slipping into the oldest jazz club in Detroit, Baker's Keyboard Lounge, to hear innovators like Rahsaan Rowan Kirk, Pharoah Sanders, Leon Thomas, and Dizzy Gillespie. He was stirred by the dynamic Indian trio Ala Raka, Ali Akbar Khan, and Ravi Shankar. With his high school class, he traveled to Jamaica and came back with two armloads of percussion instruments and a greater appreciation for Bob Marley. Then, in 1975, Charlie began studying piano as if his life depended on it. He dove into piano studies, music history, and ear training at Oakland University, and also worked with private jazz instructor Matt Michaels. While establishing a strong foundation in music theory, classical technique, as well as jazz forms, Charlie found himself eager to be immersed in original sounds. He moved west and sought out Ralph Towner, Colin Walcott, Paul McCandless, and Glenn Moore of Oregon, along with Art Landy, as teachers and mentors. Charlie went on to further steep himself in ancient musical traditions of the world, allowing their cultural rhythms and resonances to become part of his being. Tonight, we are featuring music from his two CDs, Moments of Grace and Edge of Silence. And you can follow the links to read more about those on both creativecosmos.org and BBS Radio's Creative Cosmos page. I'd like to welcome now to the Creative Cosmos musician, Charlie Bomarito.
Well, thank you very much for that detailed introduction.
Yeah, found out a little bit about you. Sounds like you've studied all kinds of music.
That's for sure, and I've had been lucky to meet some of the right people at the right time. Yeah, one person and the group of people, really, the group org and Ralph Towner in particular, has been real helpful to me.
Great, yeah. Since you bring that up, let's go right into it. In what ways did some of these people help your creative endeavors?
Well, you mentioned the thing of Baker's Keyboard Lounge, and that was a place of real transformation for me, because hearing people that you mentioned, and, you know, and Rahsaan Rowan Kirk, in particular, though, play the saxophone in such a way that I never heard anyone play any other instrument. Probably the closest thing to it was maybe Jimi Hendrix. But also, you know, he had a definite many sides to him. But just seeing a lot of potentials there. And Detroit, although in some ways is not always the greatest place to be, was still a good music town then.
Yeah, hey, I'm familiar with Detroit. I'm actually from Michigan myself.
Well, then, you know, you could see, you mentioned the rock concerts too. We would, you know, go to concerts where 5,000 or 10,000 people at some of those bands and a lot of other, and then go and hear bands at hockey rinks, and then go into these jazz clubs and classical things to some extent to experience. There was one, I can't remember her name now even, but an elderly woman I met who was just an expert in harpsichord and clavichord, and used to give these little concerts over in the courtyard at Detroit Art Institute. It has a beautiful Rivera.
Love the harpsichord.
You know, and mural there, and I used to love to go just to sit in that 15th century courtyard and listen to her play too. But I like to experiment with a lot of different instruments too, and I think that, you know, Ralph Towner and organ in particular just took such a world view of music, and at the same time had a jazz sensibility, and it wasn't what Ralph actually said to me one time, a smorgasbord really approach, but a more organic thing they were looking for, to really find some different ways to compose from and improvise also from the foundation.
Right. Yeah, I kind of think that's where music is these days. You know, people are, you can really open up to all kinds of different things and make it part of your own unique way of expressing. That's one of the beauties of, you know, music today, I think.
I know. I believe that the trend is definitely headed in that direction, in a lot of music anyway, and it's nice to see when it happens, especially at a deep level, not just some flirtation with a culture. Sometimes just to suggest it doesn't really get the full effect, but it is truly great. And also the digital thing in that regard makes it easier for people to record without spending much
time. Yeah, I mean, that's a huge deal, I think, you know. I mean, it's empowering musicians all over the world to share their work with everybody, you know.
And sharing in conversations like this over whatever channels people receive it. I appreciate, you know, your interest in the music sharing it with other people, and that, you know, that sort of thing exists too. We got to take what we can get. You know, we have enough things to put up with.
Take advantage
of the positive things and try to turn it around.
Well, that's, you know, really a big part of what Creative Cosmos is all about. You know, kind of, you know, giving, you know, highlighting these things that individuals are doing. You know, the creative music and the art, and just you know, kind of smashing out of the old boundaries and going into open spaces where we're all creative beings and sharing with each other in that manner.
So, have you been working towards this particular end of interviewing people in different pursuits of like endeavor? Or?
Well. Yeah, it's kind of evolved, you know, it really evolved in a interesting way. It started out first, I learned a lot the old school way. I went through the whole school process up to the doctoral levels. I never quite finished, but finished the coursework, so I went through a lot of the, you know, 9 years of college and learning things, and then I jumped out of that and went into really studying Eastern wisdom and the Eastern way. And just everything else was off. You know, I that was my life. I was now a monk. And it's a big shift, you know, and I had to sort out the implications of that decision and how it affected me. You know, I knew the old ways were compressing me, and I couldn't just be, you know, I was a trumpet player, and I was playing gigs, and it was cool and everything, but it just wasn't enough. You know, I hadn't discovered at the time, like, the creative flow that I was to find, but that was the process, that was the journey, you know. Made the leap and moved to Minneapolis, and I just began hammering it out, figuring it out, and just doing experiments in all sorts of different ways, and discovered my own art and started sharing it with the world. And then I realized, holy cow, there are other people that kind of went through the same thing themselves, their own you know, spiritual struggle and then release, and, you know, into this whole other realm. And it seemed like I started to see over time that there was a whole new way opening up, and I've enjoyed sharing with people first from websites. You know, I started with the website creativecosmos.org and started putting it together, and whenever I had inspiration or ideas, I manifested them, put them out, and pretty soon the flow was happening, and it led me right here.
Well, it's great to see, because I see it as a direct action that manifests a lot of what goes on, and you gain from the sort of meditative and spiritual studies that you do and teach. And a lot of people are, you know, caught up maybe in one pole or the other. And it's nice when people who are activists in some sense can slow down and get recharged and connected. And likewise, people can know that and see the kind of way that you're showing how you can actively reach out and still pursue your internal work at the same time.
Yeah, thank you for that observation. Yeah, that's a big part. I try to model that myself. Model being creative, you know, and that's like kind of the theme of the show tonight is silence and sound, which kind of underscores that what you just said, you know. The speaking and the reaching out is kind of the active sound part, and then the personal inner space that I've cultivated, which makes that possible, is the silence.
Yeah, man, that's beautiful. And in my music, on the two things that are available on CD right now, that they do go in a couple different directions. In general, the tune Bright Room, that's, you know, kind of light, and there are other, but it has a lot of energy. And the other ones are there are some more energetic tunes that are, I would say, a little more jazzy and intense, and it touches on a meditative sort of. But on Edge of Silence, we were really going for a continuous thing through the whole CD that people could put on when they were in a more laid back mood or for healing purposes. And in this regard, we're getting good reports from yoga teachers and massage therapists. And I got a report today from Dr. Wilson, who's written a good book on saunas that I just designed this new one that involves light and sound. And I had been speaking to him, and I said, well, I have this CD. And I sent it to him, and he put his stamp of approval on it. So
sweet.
So I'm glad that some people may be kicking back in their saunas and getting that red light and infrared and helping to you energize to get out there and get things done, and also to, you know, kick back and like someone told me, they lost track of time the other day listening to it, and I thought that was a good compliment.
Yeah, that is a good compliment, because it shows that the vibrations are raising them into another space, you know, a little bit higher vibration, or, you know, you're a different opening. It's kind of like you open up, so you're also here and into those open spaces where you can fly a little more freely, less bound by such things as time and space.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And I speaking of that that same music too, Ela Lamblin, who plays with me on The Edge of Silence, is an incredible inventor of different kinds of instruments. And Eric Chappelle plays violin, and electric violin was also a wonderful musician. And together on that recording, too, if people hear that, like I think later on we might hear Buffalo Dreams. Is that right?
Yep, we're going to play that. We're in about 13 minutes. Well, yeah, right at 10:30. Or 8:30 Pacific, we're going to play that.
Kindly communicated that earlier, but Ela plays a toe flute on that particular piece that's about 6 feet or so long, and literally he uses his feet to play the notes.
Wow, cool.
And on that I'm playing some soft percussion in the background, and Eric is doing some staccato violin, and that has a lot of space in it, and it evokes. It's not meant to be quoting or trying to imitate really American Native American music, but it has some echoes of that, or maybe Peruvian too, and the spirit of the buffalo and the type of most of the societies that lived in harmony with the buffalo and gave it space and knew about space at that time. I just, you know, would like to we wanted to do our own honoring of it.
Yeah, I love that you did that. That was why I chose that tune. You know, I like to do that too. You know, that's part of giving meaning or saving that or encapsulating that spirit or not forgetting it or not, you know, I mean, it's a very important thing. That's a very big deal, you know.
I'm glad that you got that, because we don't mean to, like I said, ever think that we could imitate or sentimentalize it or anything. But I think if we're sincere at this age, we can still share a lot with what a lot of good people contributed and did, you know, on this land before us. In the Northwest, I see and feel that, well, all over the world, really, but that places I've been anyway.
Yeah.
So. And they were such powerful examples of stewardship, besides their social interactions, which varied, but, you know, the basic thing was how many thousands of years went by without them messing up the whole.
Right. Being in tune and aware of life itself and being connected to that sense of connection to life and nature and the earth and, you know, spiritual yet also very grounded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the political thing, too, it's so important right now because there's so much going on so fast that could mean, you know, more devastation, and yet there's so many ways that things can happen fast that possibly things could slow down at this activist or even be turned around. Sacred Activist Conference last weekend I performed at with my wife. Betsy Beckman is a great dancer. And a lot of the message there was, you know, try to basically work for peace if you can, as hard as some of these people work at war, especially wars, the kind of wars now that are mainly going on that in most cases or all cases really don't need to be. It's not like there are two life forms fighting over the last drop of water, as you know. I just think it's very important for all of us who feel that we should take a different path to try to find a positive way to do that now without just polarizing.
Yeah, one of the ways I look at that, to kind of go back to one thing we were talking about earlier about how I came to all this, I didn't know exactly where the path was leading, but one thing I had just rock solid faith in. I think it's because I resonated with the truth. I resonated, however you want to say it, you know, I had the call from spirit, or, you know, I had a search. I was on a search. And once I came into some materials that I felt was speaking to me, I mean, at first it was like, thank God. Jeez, wow. Everything's great, you know. The missing link. What a relief that the world isn't such a dark place. Sometimes, you know, it's wonderful. I sometimes differentiate between life, you know, as it is in nature, and world affairs of the humanity. And
Lao Tzu would always refer to the world of men.
Right. Yeah, maybe that's where I picked it up. Can't go wrong with Lao Tzu, can you?
No, I think that's particularly beautiful and still, for me, a very life-giving bit of writing, whether it was a person or a group of people or wherever it came from. It basically, 400 B.C. or something?
Yeah, maybe even a little bit older than that.
Could be.
Yeah, love Lao Tzu, too. And what I did through that time is, once I recognized the truth in myself and my own inner link, I never varied. I never strayed from it. Even though I was going forward and I didn't have any idea what was going to happen.
Well, that's a lot of faith you have. Before I decide your adventure this aspect, you might have a lot of intuition and faith in your intuition, which is can be real useful.
Yeah. Yeah, it was, you know, I mean, because it was almost like my whole, you know, I had to change, I often talk about how you have to then bring the outer world into line with your new inner understanding, and, you know, it can be painful, it can be scary, it can be, you know, there are many layers you have to shed along the way, but if you stick to it, you'll eventually kind of break through and then you'll catch your creative flow, whatever that is for you. It doesn't have to be, you know, necessarily music or art.
That's right.
You can just do your whatever you do, but with that spirit, with that beauty, with that touch of grace or moment of grace, as you say on your CD.
Consciousness of those ripples.
Yeah.
Everyone creates.
Yeah, and then I think that if everybody were to follow their, and also is kind of faith in that idea that if I did what I was meant to do, all would work out as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I often tell that, you know, too, that I think if everybody did what they were truly meant to do, then all that stuff would disappear. All the wars and violence and ugliness.
Well, we have the potential. Let's hope we can see more things happen in that direction while we're still on the planet. Keep doing whatever we can do in our own sphere, I think, is, you know, really the ultimate key. If you see how each action you have really does have such a profound action, not only in analyzing it in relation to the economy and so forth, but on an energetic level, like you're speaking to, and I think that's what you're trying to bring people to see more too, then, you know, all the little things you do in the course of your life and your day, moment to moment, you know, they reflect your politics and so forth and the things you buy and the way you interact with each person and being and so forth. And I do think that ultimately, if we deal with those the best that we can, we may not be perfect, but that's where the change has to come from, rather than thinking that some laws or other structures from the outside
are
going to come first.
Yeah, and I think that precisely is what's occurring. You know, I hear from people who describe that same process of how they're discovering that within themselves. They're realizing how their old view of the world doesn't really fit them anymore, and then they, you know, at first they're not sure what's going on, but then it's sometimes my pleasure to tell them, hey, no worry, it's a blessing. You know, you are about to realize some of the most amazing things anybody could ever hope to see.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Well, it is going on, and it always has been. I'm just hoping that, you know, it can continue to go on at a rate that, you know, we can see more of it manifested in the world around us, and mainly in giving respect for and admiration to the nature around us, and truly having a chance to reconnect with that deeper as a society. You know, that we have social problems, obviously, too, but I think all that sensitivity sometimes tends to come together.
Yeah. Well, that was one thing I loved about the Buffalo Dreams, because it also shows empathy, you know, that you feel that their life. And I feel the same way, and I speak about it, you know, not about, like, say, you take some of the big cats of North America that get, you know, suburban sprawl. Oh, there's a cat. Oh, it's a threat. Bam, you know, this beautiful, magnificent animal, the glory of the continent, and they're just blasting it because it's, you know, just in the way of their expansion. Or I always think about the elephants and just the horrific crimes against elephants, and I can probably feel their spirit deeper than any animal.
Yeah, I have an old tune. I don't think I don't have it on CD, but it's about that too. It's actually called Zoo Blues, about looking into an elephant's eye and then in the tear falling going off into a dream state and getting some sense of what that elephant and its relatives, you know, have been through.
Oh.
And you know, it's just it was just a little blues sort of thing with a ukulele, kind of a late night.
But uh-huh.
I really think that zoos are well-meaning, and a lot of times the people that go there, but it's that kind of attitude at the core that we can just go and gawk at creatures that we have to get over and get this, you know, to the sort of respect that when an Indian hunted, they hunted in such a different way and with such great
right.
respect. And it's that type of connection, you know, we need to try to work toward.
We do. I mean, it's real. It's very, very real. And you know, we're also depriving ourselves of the experience of relating to these great animals, because I often say that we need to speak their language, which means that we tune into their vibes.
We
communicate with them, you know, telepathically, and, you know, spiritually, and really share energy, you know.
Exactly. Or the trees and the water, all of it, you know, we have a chance for it to speak to us. And I do think, you know, as it says in that little blurb around tune we're talking about, that it's not everything that's negative about the technology or the trains for that matter, but when the Iron Horse came out here and they began just to slaughter buffalo every which way, mainly to get rid of the Indians, it was a real ignorance that then started to impart the land. Maybe not, you know, not in every way. Our culture isn't all bad.
But we
have to acknowledge that.
We do. We have to face up to what occurred. No question about it.
And hopefully not just whine about it, you know, really learn from it and act differently. You know, I'm tired
right.
of the talk, but we got to, you know, the talk is good too, as long as some walk happens eventually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you mean. Well, let's go into the tune right
great,
now.
Great.
We set it up real nice, and I hope you'll enjoy it, audience. Here it goes, Buffalo Dreams by Charlie Bomarito. All right, we're back. Thanks for hanging with us. And the show keeps right on cruising. Every minute's better than the last. All kinds of new creative vibes in the air. And what you just enjoyed was Buffalo Dreams by Charlie Bomarito from his CD, Edge of Silence. Please follow the links on creativecosmos.org or the ones on show information. I'll give them to you one time. Yeah, right now, it's cdbaby.com. Some of you are familiar with that. I'll start over since I talked. cdbaby.com/CD/Bomarito1. BOMMARITO1. And his other CD is cdbaby.com/CD/Bomarito2. BOMMARITO2. And we are right now enjoying the presence of Charlie Bomarito himself. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you. And if that's all they got was Bomarito or Charlie Bomarito out of that, if they just Google that, the CDs will come up.
Okay.
Some other stuff too. But
cool.
Thanks for playing that tune, and I hope that people will respectfully receive that. You know, part of it too is I don't want to sound too cynical about, you know, like I was saying before, the seeds of ignorance coming out with the train. But at the same time, it was such an abrupt split at that particular point that I think sometimes it's a good thing or necessary to be or speak about things that, you know, are not in harmony, so that then we can, you know, work towards some other change. You know, even if in the more blissful state or whatever we're in, the easier we could, you know, focus energy and where it's needed, I think.
Yeah, I feel compelled as well to speak out sometimes on matters such as that, and, you know, it is necessary to, just like with yourself, you know, as an individual, you got to kind of face up to the blockages in your own energy. And I feel the same way. As a society, we need to face up to the blockages in the energy. And also, as an individual, we need to heal that of ourselves, which is frozen in the past. You know, if we have a hurt that we haven't faced up to, it just stays out there and continues to be a drain on our energy. And I agree with you. These things just need to be addressed, and we need to not take them personally or not take offense. We just need to hear it and consider, assimilate, and just do what's obvious. Do what makes sense, you know?
That's right. Move on.
And, yeah, let those energies, the creative energies, move to the fore. So I did want to ask you while you're here, I was wondering, do you have any other forms of creative expression other than music that you experiment with at all?
Well, I'm always working on new projects, and I only have recorded a small fraction of what the kinds of things that I like to do. In general, you know, there's a splattering of everything on Moments of Grace, but, you know, it's a solo attempt to do that. But in other completely total realms, I like to plant trees a lot.
Wow.
And I like to work with light. In the 80s, I introduced the first full-spectrum bulbs available in the Northwest of the incandescent type, because I was just blown away by the visual spectrum. And I've done a lot of work with color therapy and lighting of fine artwork and things like that since then. And I won't go into detail about all that, right, and maybe some other show, but there's a lot of confusion, I think, about SAD and therapy, light therapy and ultraviolet or not, and all those issues. But recently, one thing I wanted to tell you about, and I don't know if I send you any pictures yet, but I will. I've designed a little sauna that incorporates color, light therapy, and sound therapy.
Oh.
And mentioned it briefly earlier. And this can be a good tool for those of us who, you know, occasionally want to at least listen to the news or deal with any of these other issues. And in our climate here in the Northwest, too, when you have a long, rainy and cool period, to go into the sauna, and the different thing about it that I've been doing is working with red lights, as suggested by Dr. Wilson. DrWilson.com has this sauna site that people can check out and check out. But he really describes the different ways that one sweats and how in the different healing modalities and different cultures, especially, who've used it. It uses a lot of red light in combination with warmth. And that gets back to, you know, even what you were saying earlier about reconnecting to our past in a real primal way, because, you know, fire and the sun have so much red light in it, and then the heat involved too. I think it seems to me that it's stretching, besides penetrating deeper, maybe right where the light bulbs are, I think it activates more triggers and is even more encompassing than a traditional sauna. And then I put this full spectrum white lights over that. And if one then, you know, reclines down on the bench, it looks up, it is really the feeling like they have of a beach. And then if you shut out the white lights, it's the red light that has a very strong healing effect, especially in relation to the heat. Because, see, red light, once you stop seeing red, you might already know this, but for some of our listeners, it disappears as the wave gets bigger and turns into heat or infrared. And so there's a real continuum there. And then on the one end of the sauna, do we put a salt crystal lamp, which is excited by light inside, and then that will generate, you know, besides the yellow, red light, also a lot of negative ions. And I think a real quantum jump in the combining the different modalities. And so that's been my latest creative
endeavor. Wow, that sounds really, really interesting.
The people walked out of there so far look pretty dazed. So, in a good way.
Yeah.
So.
That sounds awesome. So give that website again where people can have a look at all that?
At drwilson.com.
All right. Yeah, I'll have to check that out.
He has a book that he's written. And he's working on expanding and changing a couple of things in relation to the full spectrum light, but the rest of it I found exceptionally interesting and informative, you know, just about the different ways that, you know, if you exercise or if you use heat lights or if you use hot rocks or even the infrared emitters, which I'm somewhat skeptical about because of electromagnetic fields, but some of them claim to be shielded and so forth. It can be very healing besides on a lot of different levels, and if it's big enough, it can even be a social, communal kind of thing.
Yeah, it sounds really cool.
Yeah. So, and the planting the trees is part of what years ago someone asked Gary Snyder. This wasn't my inspiration, though, but it stuck in my head. You know, what should we do, you know, with all the traveling and stuff he's doing and, you know, what, you know, everything that's going on? And he said, stay put. And by that, I don't think he meant just sit there and do nothing or whatever, but some people at least need to develop a deep connection with where they're at and, you know, be willing to, you know, dig in, so to speak.
Right.
And
or phase in.
Yeah, and luckily in my situation, and I've been at my studio for the last 15 years, and I have this little, have a nice little property by a small lake north of Seattle, and I've planted maybe 150 or 200 trees, and it's been a very, quite a profound experience.
Well, that's very cool. I really appreciate that. I think that's really
I'll introduce you to my trees when you come out.
Yeah, that will be very cool.
And it's a privilege to have the time and to make the time and have a place to be able to actually do it, too, at this day and age, you know, it's hard for it to happen, you know, and it's good because when people who live around here now, some of them still have trees, a lot of the trees have been cut down since we've been here, that as soon as people come into the yard, you know, their energy changes because there's just this, you know, green around them, and, well, I think you either get it or you don't. You know, I don't need to explain.
Right. Well, that's inspiring
yeah.
and beautiful. I really admire that.
Yeah. So I feel very fortunate to be able to have those kinds of things to work on and also to, you know, try to find ways to complete the circle. Like, you know, I'm very grateful for this chance to talk with you and sharing the time, whoever takes the time to listen to us, hopefully we haven't wasted a moment of their time in expressing, you know, these kind of things we're talking about today.
Yeah, well, I think our range of topics and expression and creative exchange have been marvelous. We've, you know, invoked some spirit of the animals and kind of shared a little bit about how I do things, and you've told me about how you do things, and we've shared some of my music and some of your music, and really, you know, I think together we're making an offering to the listeners, and
you do a lot of illustrating too, don't you?
What's that?
You do a certain amount of visual artwork.
Oh yeah, I do a lot of. When I was doing the exploring that I described earlier, after I moved to Minneapolis.
Yeah.
You know, I found two things came fairly early on. One, I realized that I like to write songs. And when I realized that, my heart practically exploded. I mean, my heart just was like, wow. And I was just like, yes, yes. And I was singing a song, writing a new tune. This went on for years. I was just completely, just like a flame, you know, like it was like a backlog of lifetimes. I was just pouring this stuff out. But then also I always drew in my youth and, you know, scattered here and there, but it never had like the prominence or, you know, it was never like the front part of my life.
Mm-hmm.
But then as I was discovering what my inclinations were, I found that I really had found that a joyful experience, and I just take paper and first I start drawing whatever. With no preconception, I just start cruising around and then allow my imagination to fill in the blanks, so to speak. And this really helped me make the link. You know, I could sometimes just see my hand moving, and I'd watch it in amazement to myself as the image that became, you know, it's part of what became the creative cosmos, because it was stars and suns and planets and moons, and they all had character beings. They had faces and, you know, smiles, and it's like the whole, it was like demonstrating my own path or the universe itself reaching out to myself through myself in my own flow of expression. And then I would, each creation would be compounded by the experience of the last. And after a while, I would get the vision, and sometimes, like, I have two styles, kind of a whimsical style of drawing, and then also this other real clear style of drawing, which is actually much more painstaking, because I see the vision, like, just totally, there's the whole vision, and then I draw with a pencil and kind of zero in on it, you know, until it is what I see, and then I go over it with single black line, and then I do it on Photoshop. I do a lot of Photoshop work. I color them on Photoshop, and I also have a bunch of artwork that's kind of crazy collages to that whole style of art that's out there all across the internet, where you put together digital, different pictures.
Digital interface, again, happening in another realm.
Yeah. It just opens up so many doors.
Well, I'm glad that I'll have to check more of what you've done. I've seen some of it on the web in that realm.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate your interest.
Yeah, definitely. And it's just reassuring and you know, just always nice to hear of other people who are out there and persistent and have the perseverance and to keep on keeping on. And like I said, I very much also appreciate you sharing the music with people and your kind words.
Well, thank you, and thank you for coming on the show tonight. It's been a real pleasure. It's been great to have you and get to know you, I know we'll be friends from now on.
Yeah, we might see you out in the Northwest before long, it sounds like.
Yep, cruising out to California in a little under a month, and after we get settled in and get a little time go by, I'm sure we'll find our way up north and come visit you and visit the trees and check out the studio and
sounds
maybe
great.
Make some music together, huh?
Sounds great.
That'd be great.
All right,
so this is a perfect way to round off the show, and I hadn't told you this, but I chose your tune called Twilight Offering to round off the show.
Oh, well, thank you. And thanks again to anyone who's listening. I hope they enjoy the music.
Thanks for coming. Good night, everybody. And here's the tune, Twilight Offering by Charlie Bomarito.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.